Hallelujah. Good morning, family. Good morning, Facebook out there, Eternal Libraries. We have got a story for you today. Praise God. Before we open this instruction manual, that's what this is. It's basically instruction manual. That's what the Bible, the acronym for Bible is what? Basic instruction for leaving Earth. So I was jotting a few things down, and I was talking with my daughter a couple weeks ago, and we're always talking about fear. It always gets brought up in our conversation. So I was like, well, man, why not do a teaching on fear? And did you know that the phrase, fear not, do not be afraid, is more than 300 times in this instruction manual? What do you guys got going on today? Because there's quite a few scriptures that we're going to go through. So prepare for a short teaching. No, that's a joke. Amen. But so he's apparently, the Lord's trying to get our attention with this, to not to fear. Amen. Because that's all that the world teaches is fear. And right from the day we're born, they want us to fear stuff. Amen. And one of the acronyms I looked up for fear was false evidence appearing real. I mean, how true is that? I mean, we have an acronym for lust. We have an acronym for faith. We have an acronym for the Bible. But fear is false evidence appearing real. Amen. And I was thinking, because in school, we used to get the 5 W's, right? The who, what, why, when, where. So what are the 5 who's of fear? And this teaching is called Facing Fear, by the way. So what's the first thing of the W? Is like who? Who? Who's creating the fear? Let's go to John 10:10, please. Who is Satan? Satan brings that fear. That's his power. His power is fear and his weapon is deception. That's one of the first things we get taught here. Amen? So John 10:10, it says, I probably need my glasses on. Hallelujah. Can't see nothing. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Think about that. That is probably one of the most truest things I've heard in my life. That's all the devil has to do all day long is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the number one thing, who wants to bring fear in your life? Satan. Amen? And the what part, he wants to put fear into your life. He wants to restrict you from going and doing any things that the Lord wants you to do by placing that fear in your life. So that's the what. The why. Why does the devil want to do this? Because he wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal, kill everything about you. He wants to take your blessings. He wants to steal your identity. Amen? And when does he want to do this? Any point in time he can. He does. I remember like the cartoon, the Looney Tunes cartoon. Remember you got the wolves, you got the sheepdog, and you got the sheep. And the wolves clock in and out trying to get the sheep, but the sheepdog always gets him with his hair flipped up and everything. Well, Satan's not like that. He doesn't clock in or clock out, man. He's constantly going after us. Constantly. And where? Where does Satan's power lie? It lays in our mind. That's where that exactly where the battle is in the mind. So those are the 5 W's of fear, basically. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, please. Verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, cast down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The battle's in the mind, folks. That's where it all starts. That's where he wants to get you. He wants to put you in fear. He wants you to see things before they really happen. Let me tell you a story. When I first came into the ministry, all right, this is probably back in, 2011 maybe, Pastor and Dave came up to me and he goes, hey, guess what? I'm like, well, what, man? What's going on? You're going to jail. You're going to do jail ministry. I'm like, what? mean, all of a sudden, the anxiety and the fear just overwhelmed me because I've never been to jail. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So what's the first thing that the devil's going to tap me with is the things I see on TV. All those horrible things, those because that's your mind. You see the pictures and visions of stuff. So I thought this jail thing was just horrible. I was terrified for like 2 days before we went. And fortunately, I went with a fantastic brother who seen me through it. I seen my brother John there, and that was awesome. It was a blessing, but it was such. When I got in there, I realized what really was going on. There was nothing to fear at all. It was a very loving, cool place. And I wouldn't say go there for on vacation or nothing because it's nothing like that. But it was nothing what I'd put in my mind because what the devil put in my mind was what was jail. I mean, so a lot of times that's where the battle is to, because maybe I'm the only one, maybe I'm not, who thinks the stuff's like, oh boy, man, what's going on here? What's going on there? And it's always, almost never what you expect it to be. So that's where the battle is in the mind. That's where he wants to get you. Because Satan's power is fear and his weapons deception. He wants to deceive you. He wants to have control of your eye gates and ear gates. Because that's what this world is. He controls this world. And just through TV, through songs, through everything you see, man, and those things leave lasting images in your mind. And you're coming up to something. Next thing you know, you're fearful of something you think you saw that you didn't see it properly at all. Amen? So just remember, that's where the battle is. That's where it's got to be won. And it's already won, but it's for us to walk it through. Amen? And let's go to where fear started. Let's go to Genesis 3, please. And we'll start at 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." Now think about this. Before all this happened, there was no fear in the Garden of Eden whatsoever. Fear did not come in until the serpent came and talked Eve into eating that apple. That's where they sinned. That's where it started. So there was no such thing as fear whatsoever. Besides the world, there's two types of fear. Let me get wrong. The reverence was there, but the spirit of fear was not there until they sinned and they hid themselves from God because they were fearful. And that's another thing that fear does. It'll hide you from the things that God wants you to do. It'll keep you entrapped upon things. You'd sit in the car, be scared to go do something because your mind's full of all these things. Like, oh, people look at me. People are doing this. People are doing that. Oh, my goodness. Get all the fear of anxiety just goes overwhelms you. And here the Satan's winning because he's stealing your blessings that you should be doing. That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to steal your identity, take your blessings. But, you know, this is where you got to put your foot down to decree and declare every single day who you are and what you are in Christ. And you constantly renew in your mind. Amen? Because that's where the battle is. And don't let it, because, man, as long as we're on this earth, it's going to keep continuing to try and creep in. It's an everyday battle. It just isn't, you know, once in a while when I start feeling it. No. Every single morning, we got to be first attackers. Amen? Oh, so that's where fear began. The Bible was what was Adam and Eve because of the serpent, the cunning serpent, the power of fear and the weapon of deception. Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1, please. Ooh, let's start at 6. The apple does not fall far from the tree. Amen. It says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through laying on my hands. For God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Now think about this for a second. So he just said the spirit of fear. So that's a spirit. You got to cast that spirit down each and every day. Man, he gives you the sound mind to reset your mind with the mind of Christ every single morning. That's something that is vital. We must do that every single day. Like I said, there's two types of fear. There's the spirit of fear, and there's a reverence, honor, respect of God Almighty. Two different things. You're going, that one's left, one's right. Amen. So know when fear creeps in. There's also, don't get me wrong, there's the wisdomly fear that God will give you. Like, I mean, the wisdom fear is you see a lion, you see a tiger cage in there. Are you going to jump in that tiger cage? No. I mean, there's a discernment. If there's a slight fear of like, okay, I'm probably going to die, right? So that's that wisdom from above. He's going to get down, but you got to remember that what that wisdom is. Amen. So upon that, he'll tell you and let you know. You get that discernment. Amen? So let's go to, I got something here. Not only does God not want us to not be afraid, but he has given us the power to combat it. Not just any power, but his power. Amen? And what kind of power are we talking? Let's go to Luke 10, please. We'll start at 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means hurt you. Right there it says it. Man, his word is the truth. He gives us the power to trample on the serpents. Amen. So take that power and use it. Every single day. Be the first striker. Don't let fear creep in on you. You kick its butt before it even starts. Amen? Because it's not going away. I promise you that. As long as we're in this world, it's going to keep trying to attack you. Because he doesn't clock in and out. Satan doesn't. He doesn't take vacations. He doesn't take sick time. He's constantly after you. Steal every single thing you have to offer. Man, you got to be mad at all the time at him, man, to just kick his butt, man. Don't let him slide in there, man, because he's cunning. All it takes is this little door to open up, man. And that's the other thing we got to realize, too, is, man, where's that open door? When you get fearful, there's an open door somewhere. You know, pray every single day for the Lord to close them doors and open the doors that of him and not of Satan. Amen? And let him reveal to you what doors that you need to close on your own. Because he's not going to close every door for you. Some doors you have to close on your own by praise and worship your way out of it and speaking them prayers. As far as, you know, you have the curse and stuff that's put on yourself, man. You got to know all that stuff. And he'll reveal that to you if you pray to him every single day. So you close those doors. And like I said, you got accursed items in your house. You got, you know, you're listening to music, watching TV. You got to watch all that stuff, man. Man, if you don't think that a horror movie or something like that is going to affect you, man, that's stored up in that memory right there. If you don't think that's an open door, man, check again. Amen. Says that he has given you the power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and it shall not hurt you. Hallelujah to that, right? Amen. Now, Jesus showed many examples of being fearless in the Bible. I'm going to show one example right here. Let's go to Mark 4, please. 35 through 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and he was on the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, you do not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, Who can this be? And even the wind and the sea obey him. As the storm gets worse, the disciples started to freak out, man. They didn't say, Jesus, we got a problem here. No, what they did is they yelled at him and said, don't you care? Don't you care we're going to perish? And think about that for a minute. I mean, the Lord's right there in the boat, and they're yelling at him. I mean, instead it's like, look, bro, I know you can fix it. And he says, we may have gone through their feelings of like God is sleeping through our storms. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel that he doesn't care, or is he's not doing something that he ought to be doing? Fear can corrode our confidence in God. That's exactly what happened on the boat. It can cause us to get mean with people. Fear made the disciples forget all the things that Jesus has done before this, like cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, all the miracle signs and wonders. Think of all the miracle signs and wonders that happened before this story that they completely forgot because of what? Because of fear. And fear blinded them from the power to stop it. So the fear kept going until Jesus rebuked it. And he knew his authority. Jesus knew his authority. He trusted God to take care of them. We can follow his example and refuse to fear when we come through the storm. Know that Jesus is always with you. Don't yell at him. I guess you can. Yeah, he's still going to listen. But I mean, just know that he's with you. He's not turned his back on you, but there's always going to be storms in our life. Storms are going to happen. That's how we grow. That's how we get more faith. That's how we trust more. But when the fear comes, that's when you're not alone. You got the Holy Spirit inside you. You're a child of God. I mean, you trample serpents, right? Know this. Establish it. Redecree it in your life every single day. That's what it takes. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry, hear my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such a breath out without violence, I would have lost heart. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We need to trust in God as a source of our strength. In the times of our fears and adversities, God will provide the strength and courage to those who trust and wait on him. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. When I was a young man, I was probably about 13, maybe 14. I ride my bike everywhere. Same as that different day back then. I had a girlfriend, and she lived like three doors down from me, and she moved all the way clear across town. But back in that day, I'd get on my bicycle, just hop up way on over there. So I was out hanging out with her and everything, and then it got dark. And so I went to leave. I got my bike, started riding my bike, went around a corner, and it was dark. There was no lights on yet, and I wasn't paying attention to on the way there to what was going on. So I was riding by, all of a sudden I heard a I'm like, oh my gosh, I went this way, hit the curb, flipped my bike, man, all banged up, man. And so I jumped back, I was so scared to death, started running again, I ran into a fence. I mean, it was ridiculous. And finally, when my eyes focused, I seen a big dog that was on a chain. I mean, I was scared for no reason. And I was frightened from what I thought I saw just from the voice, but didn't really see it. When my eyes finally focused, you know, I mean, it wasn't nearly what I thought it was, but I was still scared the snot out of me. And, yeah, I was all banged up, man. I was so shooken up. I think I walked like two or three blocks before I finally got on my bike and, you know, checked on my bumps and bruises. But all in all, man, I mean, the Lord had the Lord's going to shine the light in the darkness so you can see them fears. But I was so busy thinking about, oh, I just got a kiss from my girlfriend, you know, cruising around around the corner and woo! I mean, it was a German Shepherd, but it took me down, man. I can imagine if that thing really chased after me, he would have caught me by all means, man. I wasn't that fast. But just think how the Lord shines a light to our path, and he'll give us that way of escape, man. I'm so glad that he put a chain on that dog, man, because that one ended pretty for me, little 14-year-old me, man. Woo! Hallelujah. that's a little bit about me. Let's go to the book of Joshua, please. Joshua 1. This is a good one. Everybody should know this one. I think I still got a scar on my knee, matter of fact. I'm sure my ego was really bruised, too. Jump up real quick. No, I'm fine, I'm fine. I wasn't fine. Oh, man. Well, you can look back and laugh now, them things, but I tell you what, that's a memory that stuck in my head forever. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9 is what we're going to read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given you. And I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, but that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is wherever you go. One of the greatest weapons of fear. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Okay. When you put God's word as the final authority in your life, God's word, that's what it says right here in Joshua, it will give you the power to overcome fear. In spite of any circumstances that you may see, feel, hear, touch, or sense, believe the Bible, not the garbage that Satan is trying to influence you with. Amen? Believe the word, read the word, meditate on the word. And what's really cool about this verse, man, how many, he said it three different times about being courageous and don't be afraid. What's courage, man? Courage is acting, doing something when you're kind of scared to do it, but you do it anyway. I mean, be courageous in what you do, man, because it's going to leave you. When, like our brother here, he had a thing about roller coasters. Man, he faced it. You kicked butt on it, didn't you? Amen. That's to say something. Your mind plays these tricks on you. Could be from a childhood trauma of some sort, but you still always face that fear, and you faced it, and he did it. And he figured out probably wasn't nearly as bad as what was in your mind, of what you thought your mind was going to be like. And it's always like that. So you remember that. That's where that battle is, right here, man. You overcome that, and you got it to this world, man, because that's who rules this world is Satan, man. He's always after you during everything. Now let's go to Psalm 56, please. Another psalm. Be merciful to me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All the days they twist my words, and their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape for iniquity and anger, cast down the peoples of God? You number my wanderings, put my fears into your bottle, and they not cry in your book. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word, and the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered me. You delivered my soul from death. You have not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. What do you got to fear? What can man do to you? I mean, it's in Matthew 10, Jesus was telling the disciples, go out, cast out devils, heal the sick, but know that man's going to come against you. They're going to be saying all kinds of stuff. When it comes down to it, though, man, who cares? And what's the holdup? I mean, if you're doing what's right in the Lord's eyes, it doesn't matter what man says. And there's a lot of times, man, you go into that grocery store, man, people aren't going to be watching you and seeing what you're doing unless you have a rip in your pants or you got a big booger hanging out of your nose. They don't care. They're there for the same reason you are. So, I mean, you got to overcome that fear of man. I mean, so what can they do to you? I mean, honestly, what's the worst, very worst going to happen? Come tell you, you got a booger on your nose, you got a rip pants in your rear end? I mean, what? I mean, so you got to really, because like I said, the anxiety builds up in your head of, oh my goodness, what does this person say? What could he do? What could they do? And you know what? Who cares? I mean, what's it to them anyway? I mean, you're there on your own business. I mean, your friends, your family, your loved ones, you're not there for anybody else, but for, the things, and you get stuck not going to things that you want to do, that you ought to do, that the Lord wants you to do, but you're so fearful, you miss out the opportunity to be that light in somebody's darkness, be that smile for that blessing. You know, like I said, we want to, I've heard in a teaching before, I think Mom said it, that we don't want to be blessed, we want to be the blessing. So you could, by the anxiety and fearfulness in your mind, you could be holding back, hiding from man, and you could be missing out on blessing somebody. But a lot of times it's not even a word. Like I said, it's just a simple greet, a smile. They can see the love in your eyes. That's all it takes sometimes. If you don't know what somebody's struggling with, you have no idea. That's why you always got to remember, cast out that fear. And if you're sensing something, maybe you're going to take care of that. You know what I'm saying? Because fear wants you to not do it and restrict you from the blessings. Take your identity. Let you know that, try and tell you that you're not a child of God, that you're born in this world and all these things, because that's what he wants to create. Because that's what he wants to do with weapon. His weapon is deception, his power is fear. So if you got that stuff creeping in, man, cast it down right then and there. That's where it is. Starts in the mind. Amen? 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. One of the greatest weapons we can have against fear is love. What is love? God is love. Amen? You are loved more than you know. We have a Father that from above that loves us dearly. You know that, that you are loved by the Father. Garner the strength to fight the spirit of fear through his love. His perfect love casts out fear. Amen. 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Realize that. So the love of God is in you. You overcome the fear in the world. I mean, remember, everything starts with love, man. Love it out. I mean, because once you're full of love, there's no room for anything else. Amen. And see somebody struggle, man. Nothing to walk up and, I mean, love is a choice. You might not care for the person. I mean, you still got to love them. It's a commandment. Amen. Fear will lie to you and keep you captive. If you don't think that fear wants to keep you in bondage, wrong answer. Fear will keep you in all bound up from the ground up. Amen. It'll keep you wrapped up in a closet, not want to do anything. Because it wants to grip you. It wants you to not release the fruits of the Spirit or anything else like that in your life. Now, remember that. I mean, but, whereas love, what does love do? Love guides you. Love gives you freedom. And there's no freedom when it comes to fear. It's all entanglement and stuff. So remember that. Love is freedom. And what is love? Love, God's love, man. Amen. Philippians 4. Let's start at 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Fill your brains with good things. Protect your ear gates and your eye gates, man. Protect yourself. Protect yourself from those things. I'm not saying you're not ever going to, man, to see these things, but when you hear it, cast it down. You know what's healthy, not healthy goes into your ears and your eyes. Every one of you has walked long enough to know what's right and wrong, especially in the Lord's eyes. It should be in your eyes then too, amen? I mean, we went through 3 days of, man, of some secular music that you would not, it's like, oh, man. And towards the end, man, we were all singing. we're all, you know, it's like, oh, I know that's all. Next thing you know, man, it's like, oh, well, we got home. I was like, I had to repent. Like, man. I was singing half them songs, and what was going on? Once I started singing, so I got back, all these little memories start popping in my head, because that's what it does. I'm like, oh, man. So I had to repent. I'm like, Lord, man, I'm sorry, and clean me, and he does. He'll clean them stuff out, but, man, it was brutal, man, and the thing about it is, man, here we are, due to beat to it, like, but it started creeping in on us. It was a very worldly place that we're in, but, you know, by God's love, we made it through it, man. It was a good 3 days. We had good brother and good fellowship. We went to try and sell some of his leather. But yeah, you got to be careful what goes in your ears and your eyes, man. Cast that stuff down because it leaves a lasting imprint. We have a prayer for deliverance of images and everything in our prayer book and stuff. That you got to say it more than you think you do, because this world's not going away out there. It's going to be a constant darts. As soon as you go past that stop sign, darts. Darts, darts, darts. Amen? Let's go to Ephesians 6, please. 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, for having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is in the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, as praying in tongues, be watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. And let's go to James 4, please. So be strong in the Lord, power is might. You can't be strong in your own power. You think you can beat fear in your own power? No. He wants to deceive you like you can, but it's gonna come back and kick your butt, man. Amen. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's a certain beauty that comes to surrender. Every day we need to surrender ourselves to the Lord. That's where the battle is won. That's where it all starts. It all starts with surrendering. Lord, I'm yours. Take me. Whatever, I cast all my fears and cares upon you, I surrender. I surrender it all to you. We receive power from God to be moved to be more than a conqueror. We are no longer slaves to fear because of our position in Christ. We can't I don't care. My handwriting. I thought I rewrote this too, and I'm still sloppy with it. Okay. If we need to follow Jesus' example, learning to overcome, we must first lay down our lives and yield our will to the Lord. Lay your fears out at the Father's feet. Receive your love and receive His love. Let the healing begin, and fear will no longer have a hold on you. Live a surrendered life, and that's the key to living a fearless life. Hallelujah. Now, I want to close with this. This is our Warrior's Handbook. There are prayers in here that will help any single situation. And we haven't updated on this. We have a couple more prayers that maybe if you got an old prayer book, make sure you get a new prayer book. But I'm going to close with, we have a prayer in here for fear. I'm going to read it to you guys in closing. Amen. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for the power to choose. Today I choose to call on the name of Jesus and the power of your word and the prayer that is backed by the anointing of Christ to defeat the enemy's presence and voices of fear, anxiety, and stress. For you have not given me a spirit of fear, anxiety, or stress, but you have given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind of Christ. As a new creation in Christ, old things must pass away, bringing me into the new things of Christ. I repent for opening the door to the spirits of fear, anxiety, and stress in my life, in my family line, and anything I have done by sin or association. Please wash me with the blood of Christ and remove those spirits from my spirit, soul, body, members, memory, and mind. As your offspring and joint heir, I take my authority and rebuke, break off power, and loose myself from the spirits of fear, anxiety, and stress, binding them in the name of Jesus and casting them from my spirit, soul, body, mind, members, to the pit right now in Jesus' name. I break and loose ourselves from all emotional attachments to fear, anxiety, stress, and anxiousness, casting spirits from us to the pit in Jesus' name. I decree that the peace of God will guide our hearts and mind as we set our minds on Christ. We receive your promise of freedom from the enemy and welcome the Holy Spirit to replace the presence of fear, stress, anxiety, and anxiousness, calling forth peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the price of the cross and the power of the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit that has brought me freedom, brought us freedom. I give Jesus all the glory for our freedom today in Jesus' name." And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Prepare your hearts for communion.